I can't hear you, honey.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. On with us today is co-host Dorothy D'Agostino, and Dorothy is going to be speaking in a few minutes. We have been talking about the treatment and sentencing of the incarcerated behind these prison walls, and we have been talking about an upcoming event that we're going to be holding in. It's going to be in June, and it's going to be contacting legislative members, governors, and the media nationwide. So I'm going to let Dorothy speak a little bit on that. We also have with us Frankie, and she is going to be speaking as well. Frankie, are you on with us? Hello? Frankie, can you hear us?
Shane, I'll have to cut it off because it's going to interfere with the radio show, and I'll get back on.
Frankie?
Whenever you're ready, okay?
Ask Josie to show you.
Okay, we're having a difficult time.
What did you get for, what was that package?
It was for the HP printer.
Okay, we have 419. You want to state your name, please?
Yeah, hey, Leona, this is Frankie.
Okay, Frankie, I'm going to shut you down. I have you on. I don't think you were able to hear me.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, so I'm going to end up closing that down. Okay, now, Frankie, I'm so sorry. We're getting a confusing start here. Could you please introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a little bit about the work that you do?
No problem. Sorry about the confusing start.
Not your fault. We had Dorothy D'Agostino, who was co-hosting today. Her son called, and he is in a prison in Pennsylvania, so there was some distraction there. But anyway, I'm sorry. So if you can, please introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. My name is Frankie. I use they/them pronouns. I currently reside in so-called Toledo. I do a lot of work with prisoners across state lines. So some are in Toledo, some are in Virginia, some are in Texas. And what that looks like is very variant according to prisoner, obviously, because different prisons have different regulations. So it could be, you know, making a call to their family if they can't get in contact with their family, helping them reach the courts, helping them get a hold of their lawyer, putting money on their books if that's what they need, funding their phone, funding their email so they can get in contact with the outside world. And sometimes it's just listening to them and being an emotional support because a lot of folks don't have that on the inside.
Now, do you have an organization? And if so, can you tell us the name of the organization?
So what's funny is I don't have an organization. I'm doing this kind of like all by myself, just kind of flying by the seam of my pants, figuring it out.
I'll tell you, you should have an organization because you've been doing an awful lot. So if someone wanted to do some volunteer work with you or work with you in some way, do you have a contact or some way they can get in contact with you?
Sure. I have an email. I don't know if you can put that in the show notes or if you want me to say it live on air or.
Well, if you want to just maybe, if you want to text it to me or whatever, but.
Sure.
Yeah, or your Facebook page or anything like that, just
sure.
In case you wanted to have someone. And whatever brought you into doing this kind of advocacy work?
Sure. That's kind of a funny story. So I had met a prisoner by the name of Sean Swain. He does a radio show called The Final Straw Broadcast or The Final Straw Radio Show on Channel Zero Network, which is an anarchist network. And I started listening to The Final Straw, and I heard about Sean's case, and I wrote a letter to Sean, and we started corresponding, and I started to help him with his case and kind of I just jumped into it and kind of had to figure it out by myself. And at that time I was living in Canada. So I was living in Canada trying to learn American law while doing finishing up 2 degrees. So it was a lot, but Sean and I ended up getting married and ultimately divorced. But I decided after my divorce, I still had work to do. And because I had met so many wonderful people were incarcerated through Sean, I wasn't just going to drop them, and I felt like an obligation to help them.
Exactly. You know, that's the thing. I say this all the time. People stereotype the incarcerated population, and it's so unfair because I've been advocating for 27 years now, and I have a loved one incarcerated, and as well as Dorothy, mm-hmm. which she'll be speaking in a few minutes. But the mm-hmm. thing is, we know throughout our experiences that these prisoners, these incarcerated individuals don't get a voice. The media does not, they don't get the other side of the stories when they report. Recently, just a couple of nights ago, a police officer mm-hmm. in Massachusetts actually beat a handcuffed individual who was drunk, not a prisoner, but someone in the community. He beat him so bad that he ended up getting fired. But the media tried to defend the officer that did it, stating that the drunken man wouldn't take his hands out of his pocket. But these are the things that they use anyway to do things like that. But I'm going to let you finish. I have a habit of getting carried away.
No, I thank you for your work. If you hadn't trailblazed, doing this type of work, I probably wouldn't be doing it. So I am so excited to be talking to you. I am so grateful and joyful and, thankful that you have been doing this so long. So, yeah.
You mentioned Canada, that you were living in Canada, and I wanted to, we've been interviewing Marion Jacobs from the Netherlands, but on May 24th, at 12 o'clock Eastern Time, I'm going to be interviewing a former 27-year warden from Amsterdam.
Wow.
He lives in Amsterdam, but he has been in the prisons in Massachusetts, and he's been in the prisons in New York, and right now he's mm-hmm. still advocating and working with the advocates in Texas. His name is Franz Dell, and he's going to be on the show. And Franz Kurs from Germany and Jan Banning from the Netherlands as well, they've been advocating for the wrongfully convicted in Ohio and in Georgia. So
wow.
I'm sure they had the same problem you had with the, with the United States laws.
They are confusing, and they make it that way for a reason.
Really? So if you can just talk about some of the experiences you've had since you've been advocating and people that you have met and issues that you've had to deal with, experiences that you've had with advocates and with the incarcerated.
So I've met a lot of wonderful people who are incarcerated who I have chosen to be my chosen family. I have met, Noah Coffin, who Noah is a prisoner, anarchist writer in Texas, and he is due to be paroled. We're very excited. And then Noah's going to come up here and kind of get his feet on the ground. He's going to come up to Toledo, and I have a space for him to live at. So we are very excited to have him there. I have worked with, a lot of prisoners, some prisoners from Michigan, some prisoners from Virginia. My friend Eric and Soto are incarcerated in Virginia. But I think some problems that do arise is, like, obviously people who are first incarcerated don't really know what they're doing. It's scary. It kind of feels overwhelming, so they don't really know what they want or where to go with it. There's a lot of issues, between obviously law enforcement, advocating. When calling the prison, it's horrendous trying to advocate for people because you're passed around from person to person to person, and they do that purposely to kind of tire you out. So that gets exhausting. But I think more recently, an issue that I've kind of run into for the first time is I'm so used to the prison being corrupt, and I'm used to dealing with their corruption, and like I know how to navigate that now. But more recently, I've been working with a prisoner by the name of Greg Curry. For those of you that don't know, Greg was involved in the infamous Lucasville riots in, obviously, at Lucasville Correctional in 1994. Greg has been locked up for about, 30 years and has not had a chance at parole, which is awful. And so we have been fighting desperately to, get Greg out because two murders were pinned on Greg during the riot, and he, you know, says he's innocent, which I believe wholeheartedly, and that is why I'm fighting so hard. Regardless if he was innocent or not, I would still fight hard. So we were trying to get a private investigator set up for Greg because we need to attain a certain file in order to bring it forth into court, because it would act as newly discovered evidence to get Greg into court. And that newly discovered evidence was a deal that was offered to one of Greg's co-defendants that Greg did not know about at the time of his trial. And so a lady by the name of Angie or Samantha Dent Ward, she kind of hopped on our team. I was very excited. She had been working with another prisoner from the riots, George Skate. He is also an incarcerated person from the riots, so I was really excited to have, you know, Angie tag-teaming with me because she kind of understood what to do. She was very good with public records. She, like, I could tell her to do something without kind of having to go into depth of, as to why, the how, the who. She just knew how to kind of navigate the systems, and so that was really exciting to me. That was, like, that was big because it took a lot of weight off my shoulders. And so we had finally, you know, secured a PI, or, you know, we kind of secured a PI for Greg. We were waiting on, you know, payment. So we raised money for Greg, me and my roommate, Jesse. We put our tips in. We had this Greg Curry cup, like, you know, funds for Greg Curry, and we would put our tips in there from work. Any change we had, we ran a, you know, raffle for Greg Curry. We did a bunch of stuff to kind of, like, collect funds so we could afford this private investigator. And so, you know, we had to transfer the, when it came to transferring the money, Cash App was kind of being weird, and Angie had said, you know, like, I'll transfer the money because my Cash App is attached to my bank account. And Jesse and I couldn't get our Cash Apps attached to our bank account for some reason. We needed a Cash App card, which we didn't have, and we were unaware of. The private investigator didn't take Cash App, so I had trusted Angie. I said, yep, okay, I will transfer you. You know, we had, like, over a grand. It was, like, I think close to, like, $1,200 or $1,300 raised for Greg. I was very excited. I transferred the money to Angie, you know, and I told her, please send this tip to the PI. It's very important because this is how we're going to get Greg out. And then, you know, things started to unravel and get messy, and I transferred the money to Angie, and then I stopped hearing from her for a couple days, and I got kind of nervous because that money was for Greg, you know, that money was for Greg, and it was supposed to be for PI to get him out. And, you know, I keep joking with him, you know, when we get out, you know, we're going to have French fries together. We're going to just do funny, goofy things together. And, you know, it's hard going to visit. I go visit Greg because he lives in Toledo. He's at Toledo Correctional. It's hard just kind of leaving him behind when I do go visit. So I was very excited to kind of prospectively get him out. And so Angie emailed me later that week, and it was this weird, you know, this weird email saying, you know, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I've been absent. I was arrested on these bogus charges because I was investigating this deputy and he didn't like it. And so I was arrested and I had to use some money to bail myself out. And so I did a little bit of investigating myself, and there's no arrest record for Angie. There's no arrest record for Samantha, who I guess she went by too. There's no arrest record, so we're assuming she just kind of took the money and ran. So I think that's one thing that's hard because it's hope and trust are a hard thing to balance. I'm finding that out. So that's more recently has been kind of the big thing that we've been dealing with, is just like, you know, how do we, you know, like, how do we trust people without, you know, getting fucked over? Because Greg's continuously got fucked over and I feel awful. So it's just like, yeah, we're kind of, our team is kind of reeling from that, gathering, you know, the funds that we need in order to get a PI to finally get this file that we need to get Greg out. So that, sorry, that was a long-winded story. Yeah.
It's sad to hear situations like that because we have mass incarceration in this country, 2.3 million in prisons, yeah. Jails, and halfway in housing. What was it called years ago? It used to call it the House of Corrections. But the prison, many prisoners are in because, as you mentioned, wrongfully convicted or first-time offenders mm-hmm. or victims who became offenders. There's so many in there, and there's so many in prison because of the lack of trust. You know, when they let their guard down, only to be deceived and lied to. This is what causes mass incarceration. So I can understand what you're saying. And I believe that Greg Curry was on the show before, and I think it might have been, and it might have been with Andy, but I wasn't aware of what you're talking about now. But so the money was never refunded to or given to you for his case?
No, it was never refunded. And what's hard is now is we can't necessarily communicate with Greg as consistently as we once did. So kind of working with Greg has become kind of difficult because of communication breakdown in the prison, and he doesn't have access to, you know, consistent communication as he once did. So that's also been hard, but we have not got a refund as of yet. Nope.
There was another one. George Skakel. Now, are you also working with him, or is that with other advocates?
So George Skakel is working with other advocates. I haven't worked with George yet, but I have heard about him.
And he was also sentenced because of the alleged riot in Louisville.
Correct. And Angie was working with him until kind of George kind of scooted her off and said, you know, and we didn't know why George scooted her off, but he was kind of like, you know, leave me alone. I don't need your help anymore. And then she kind of came full force on our team and then took the money and ran.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it.
Jeez. Dorothy, do you have anything to say? Because I want to ask you.
Remember when I said, I smell a rat with Angie. Okay. My name is Dorothy Jean, and I live in South Carolina, but I have a son doing life without parole in Pennsylvania. He's put in 25 years, and I've been with the prison system fighting for 25 years. I'm not counting the 2 years that he was in county before his trial. So actually it's 27 years. But we have something coming up in June, and it is going to be the whole month of June, that I'm hoping that people will go to the dollar store and get a notebook and put every day phone calls to 5 or 6 people in the legislation and the government to address mass incarceration, life without parole, the death penalty, life, education programs, mental illness, jobs, medical, and to put forth what issues we want to discuss. And with this mail, you can call on the phone every day in the month of June. So they are aware what is occurring and what we are focusing on in the system. I got a tablet from the Dollar Tree, and each day for the month of June, I have telephone numbers that I'm going to address with the legislation and the governors to do this concerning the death penalty and life without parole and the mass incarceration, and get them to step up and see what is occurring in the prison system. So I am hoping that everybody will jump on the train, bring this out of the awareness of what is occurring in the system. I have a few topics that I wanted to address, and I didn't know if anyone was aware of mail situation. This occurred in Frackville, Pennsylvania, where a mail carrier took over 30 bags of institutional mail that was supposed to be delivered, and it was found in his storage shed that wasn't delivered. So that is a problem, because a lot of the loved ones that we have behind the bars are not getting mail, and they wonder why. I had a case at the FCI prison in Ashland, Kentucky, that I got 20 letters back with the yellow seal that said, no such name, no such number. I called the post office. They are looking into it, which they have called me 3 times already, and they are trying to establish the reason behind that they will not deliver the mail to the prisons. Now, this is from the post office. Okay. Last week in a FBI prison in Pennsylvania, 4 guards beat up this gentleman, broke both arms, and broke both wrists. They should be held accountable for what they did. And this that is getting looked into.
This is why it's so important. This is why it's so important for us to really hit the media, to send emails and write letters and make calls to all of the media around the country, especially the major media outlets, because they always report one-sided stories, and they need to hear about these kind of situations that are occurring in these prisons. They need to start going into the prisons and meeting with these incarcerated individuals. If they can travel all the way across the pond to go to Ukraine and to go to England and all these places to get the news from them, they should be willing to go into the prisons and get the other side of the story from these incarcerated individuals.
They don't have a voice inside. We are their voice, and we have to prove to them that they are not by themselves and they're not left alone. I don't fight just for my son. I fight for everyone else. And Frankie, if you need help, I would be willing to help you, because I am in tune to the system very well.
That would be wonderful. I will. We will get connected.
Okay. And this is what it's all about: networking with advocates around the country, and networking with family members of the incarcerated. This is the way success will be made, because in June, for 1 month of bombarding the media and bombarding the governors and the legislative members, we definitely will see the media speaking about this. It will be on the news. And this is why it's so important for everyone to make these calls and write these letters and send these emails. You don't even have to leave your home. But I want
That's
to encourage.
Correct.
I also want to say that there's been some recently released incarcerated individuals that were serving life sentences and long-term sentences. And now that they're out, they are actually going to be working with us as well and getting the news out to the others to work with us. So this is good that this is happening.
That's great.
Voting rights as well with the prisoners. Restoration.
Yes. And if anyone has any issues that should be addressed while we are making these phone calls, please feel free to also address those concerns, because we have to focus. Let's be their voice for change when they don't have one inside, where their voice is nothing. Let's hop on this train in June.
That's what we need to let the media know, is that these things happen in the prisons, and they report half stories. They don't know what they're talking about if they don't get both sides to a story, or 3 sides sometimes. But until they start meeting with these incarcerated individuals, also Families Against Mandatory Minimums has been encouraging everyone to join Families Against Mandatory Minimum, but also to start challenging and calling your legislative members to have them start going into the prisons at least once or twice a year to meet with these incarcerated individuals, to get their side of the stories, to hear their voices, to find out what the concerns are behind those prison walls. These are very, very important issues that need to be addressed.
I am also going to address, and I think this is very, very important, that the correctional officer be held accountable. Just like when you go for a visit to go through the drug testing machine, they should not be left out. And also, I feel that the correctional officers and the staff is included to have classes on anger management that they can
absolutely.
Go forward.
Absolutely, Dorothy. Absolutely.
And they should not be able to even walk on that line if they don't go through the anger management and get a certificate. If our loved ones inside have to be extra careful of what they do and they go to the SHU, what difference is correctional officer doesn't hold down his job the way he should and have an attitude? He should be held also. And I believe in anger management. And I will say this. I will give my email address. It's D Jean, that's J-E-A-N, Angel, 04, at yahoo.com. My telephone number is 215-858-0095. The only thing I ask, don't call after 9. That's the only thing I ask. But I will be there 24/7 to help anybody. And I'm very anxious for June to come around. And we have these phone calls, emails, and everything else to go forward and bring change.
And thank you. And this is why I had mentioned prior to June, we're going to have on with us these invited guests from across the ocean, from Amsterdam, the Netherlands, and they're going to be coming on to talk about all these issues prior to, just a couple of weeks prior to what we're going to be doing nationwide. And again, they're going to be talking about, and this is a warden that's going to be coming on, that's going to be talking about what he feels about the things that are going on in the prisons as well. So if everyone can join us, especially Jan Banning will be joining us on the, I believe it's the 17th of May. He's going to be coming on to talk about an incarcerated female wrongfully convicted who he's been advocating for some time in Georgia. So, and
what
he's
time
that interview is going to be at 12 o'clock our time, Eastern time. It'll be 6 o'clock his time, but it'll it's going to be at 12 o'clock our time.
Okay.
Again, he's going to be coming on prior to the June event, so that when we get ready to do this event, we're going to be able to talk about the comparison between the prisons in their countries compared to mass incarceration in the United States of America. Also, the treatment, the rehabilitative treatment, the way the prisoners are treated by the overseers, that they're nothing like it is in this country. So they're going to be talking a lot about that as well. Now,
that's
I'm going to, let's see, I'm just trying to figure out how we're going to. Please feel free to speak, girls, because you have a lot to talk about. You know, I wanted to say real quickly, you know, I try my best to not get involved in a lot of chaos and drama. But one of the things we have to keep in mind when we're working to help the incarcerated individuals, just like with the DOC, just like with politicians, just like with Democratic and Republican parties, we're going to find good and bad in every group and everyone. Not all advocates are doing the work without having a motive behind it. And sometimes it's sad because there's a lot of people that want their power, They want to be fame. They want the fame. They want to be acknowledged for the work they do. There's so many things out there that they're focusing on rather than the full meaning of what we're trying to do with the incarcerated. And if Greg Curry is indeed innocent and you're fighting to have his name cleared or have an investigative private investigator or whatever the case may be, the money should be gone. The money should be going to him. And that doesn't just apply to Greg Curry, but it applies to a lot of incarcerated individuals who have been so deceived and lied to by lawyers, by judges, by correctional officers, by prison officials, by their own family and friends. So we have to keep that in mind when we're advocating as well.
And you also have to add on to some advocates that have lied and played games.
Well, that's what I just said. That's what I was just saying, in addition to the correctional officers and others that have been out there.
It's a shame.
It's a big shame. And I think it's hard to then trust people again. Like, how do you get deceived? And then you're like, oh, my God, how do I trust anybody to, like, bring anybody on to, like, help Greg if I just think they're going to deceive them? I think it's awful, and you're deceiving the most marginalized people in our society, people who are incarcerated.
Vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
there are a lot of vulnerable. You know, that's why so many people end up in prison, believe it or not, is because a lot of them, those first-time offenders, most likely, and wrongfully convicted, but a lot of first-time offenders are so vulnerable at the time that something happens. And they're prey to somebody that's been around, someone that knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Leona, I want to take off now because I want to spend with Shane before he goes back on the video call.
Oh, okay. If it's possible to have him come on for a few minutes, please feel free to have him say a few things.
Okay. Frankie, do you have my phone number?
I can get it. I can get it from Leona. I can as well get your email, and I will contact you. Absolutely, 100%, Dorothy. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I am going to get on to my baby boy and see if we can get a connection together.
Okay.
Leona.
Yes.
I'm as well going to take off. I just have some running around to do, but thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate you giving me the platform and a chance to speak.
Well, you know, I'd like to have you come back on at another time as well,
sure.
Frankie, because I'd like to hear more about the work you do. And, you know, there's so many, you've been around, you've been doing this for quite a while, so I'm sure you have a lot of experience in working with a lot of these incarcerated individuals that have different stories to tell. And,
absolutely. I would love to do that.
And I hope you'll be joining us in the month of June to be making the calls, emailing, or just getting the word out to everyone to try to reach out to the media. We need to bombard the media to get their attention to the real issues that are going on in their own country. I'm tired of hearing on the news about all of the traveling they're doing abroad. And it's
absolutely.
It's not right when we have so many problems in this country right now.
I agree.
So,
I will 100% be on board in June. You can count me in.
I want to thank you so much. And again, you we'll be in touch, and you can let me know a good time and a good day to have you come on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Leona, again.
Okay, so we're going to be closing down in a few minutes anyway, but again, I wanted to bring on the issues that we're dealing with in this country, in the penal system, and also outside the penal system. I want everyone to realize when they make these calls in June, it does not necessarily have to be just about the prison issues. It can be about any issues at all that are going on in this country.
Hi, sweetheart. Leona is handling it. I don't know if you can talk to her.
Do you want to say a few things? Shane, would you like to say a few things?
She asked if you'd like to say a few things.
Okay, I'm sure right now because I got put on the spot. But,
okay, I'm going to, Shane, I would just like to, first of all, we'd like to congratulate you. We heard you just recently got married, so we want to congratulate you on that.
Why, thank you. Thank you very much. What I can say is, you know, in the DOC, a lot of the big problems in the DOC is the mental health. And, you know, there's our new Secretary of the Corrections actually started her career actually doing groups that have to do with drugs and alcohol, SUD, that substance use disorder, and so on and so forth. But the problem is that the mental health, it doesn't seem like it's really getting, for a lack of words, how can I say it, being solved in the DOC. And what a lot of causes of that is a lack of training for like welding and what would you call that, Josie? For training, vo-tech. There's a lack of vo-tech training, and it's my understanding, and I'm sure it's just statistically that with training, with school, vo-tech, hands-on training, you know, working on cars, engine repair, building houses, learning how to roof and everything, has a lot to do with the mental health and how to actually help people feel more motivated to stay out there, okay? And you guys can help me out here a little bit, but
can you hear him, Leona?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yes, and I was going to say next Wednesday, not tomorrow, but next Wednesday, the 17th, Donna Wynette from the Family, Friends, and Individuals for the Mentally Ill will be on the show next week, and she's bringing on some guests with her. Donna is for the families for the mentally ill, has been advocating and has been trying to get the Department of Corrections involved in the penal system. They're trying to, what we'd like to see happen is these contracted providers, which is WellPath especially, because you have WellPath in Pennsylvania, we have it in Massachusetts, and WellPath is in 36 states in the United States. They have caused so much permanent damage to prisoners. They have caused a lot, and we're trying to replace them and have independent providers going into the prisons. So Donna Wynette has been very active in all of this as well. And she's going to be on next Wednesday, bringing guests on, talk about these issues of mental health.
That's amazing because, see, a lot of subjects about PTSD, a lot of people don't realize that in the prison system, a lot of long-termers that go home, actually, a lot of them have PTSD by the time they leave the prison system because, and how PTSD, we all know post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know, a lot of people don't realize that when you have an inmate that has PTSD, that's going to affect them when they go home. And a lot of the inmates have PTSD. You got to remember, we're always constantly looking behind our back. We're always constantly getting yelled at. We're constantly hearing doors slamming every day. We're constantly told when to do something, how to do something, what not to do. And after years and years and years of that happening to an inmate, it does something to your mind. It causes nervousness, you can clouds. It's a lot, like, I don't like being with, around a lot of crowded people. I don't like to hear slams. I don't like to hear loud noises in the background. You know, like, I'll even tell my mother when we're having a virtual visit to turn down the TV because it actually stresses me out severely from hearing all the noises after years and years and years of hearing noise. And
you know, I totally agree. I totally agree.
You mentioned
Shane.
5 minutes with him.
Okay, Shane mentioned, he mentioned post-traumatic stress syndrome that they get in the prison. But I just wanted to say real quick, Shane, a lot of people have it when they go into the prison. And I was telling the audience and your mom not too long ago that they get, a lot of these incarcerated individuals are getting diagnosed as being antisocial instead of being diagnosed as being post-traumatic stress syndrome, because a lot of them are PTSD.
Can I interrupt you for a second, Leona? This is Joe.
Oh,
you unmuted
well,
me. Joe. I've only got about 2 minutes.
Sure.
So I want to tell you something, okay? I was on a show called, what's the name of the show? Precious Predicaments. That's the name of the show, and it was about the wrongfully convicted. It's hosted by a woman whose son was in jail. The show is devoted to getting people out. I told her about your show. So I want to let you know that there are people on Blog Talk Radio that you can contact, and I'm going to contact her because I'm starting a show next Wednesday. I'm going to have her come on and talk about solutions.
All right.
So, okay, so I told her about your show. The name of her show, again, is Precious Predicaments. It was on, what was it, yesterday? Well, anyway, that's the name of the show. But the title of the show for that particular day was called Wrongfully Convicted. It was 2 hours about how to help those who are wrongfully convicted. And she advocates writing a letter, she says, does a lot. And there are other people on the show who had, you know, like yourself, they have loved ones incarcerated, and they have the same goals as you. So I want to let you know about that so that you can contact her. Again, the name of the show is Precious Predicaments. It was on yesterday.
Okay.
And the name of
that's a Blog Talk Radio?
Yep.
All right. I'll be looking
and
for that.
And she gives her phone number at the end of the, near the end of the show. And the title of the show, the episode for that particular day yesterday was Wrongfully Convicted. Wrongfully Convicted. And her name is Jeanette. So, like I said, I'm starting my show next Wednesday. I'm going to have her on if I can contact her, because I'm going to be talking about solutions to corruption. Sorry for the interruption, people, but I've only got a couple of minutes before I leave.
No, Joe, I'd like to have you. What is the name of your radio show? You're going to be starting it next week?
Yeah, I haven't named it yet, but I'll come back and let you know.
Okay, because you just mentioned what it was going to be about, and what was it about? What will it be about?
It's going to be about solutions for corruption. People
and that would
have
be
to a, give solutions.
That would be a perfect name for your show.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about various names with solutions in there, but haven't picked a name yet, but I'll let you know.
Okay.
But it's going to be about corruption, and she was talking about, and your goal is to get people out, especially the wrongfully convicted, to make sure. And I told her that we as Americans, we need to be very concerned about this, because as the gentleman was talking about, when he was incarcerated over years, he can develop PTSD. That's not helpful for the American citizen when they get out, especially when they have no job, et cetera.
Exactly.
So,
and the thing is, there's a lot of them that go in with that PTSD, too. There's a lot of people that have been in, that have gone to prison because they were violated, like I say, they were violated as children or adolescents in domestic violence situations, or they just had traumatic experiences. So a lot of them do have PTSD, but they get misdiagnosed. And I know there's a lot of people coming back from the military that have PTSD, but they focus only on
let me interrupt the gang. Like I said, I've only had a couple of minutes. I was waiting to, so I could, you know, tell you about this woman, because you and she have a lot in common. I don't want to interrupt the show. So sorry for the interruption, folks.
No, I'm going to go now. You're never an interruption,
okay?
Joe. I appreciate your, I appreciate your coming on and your feedback.
Okay, well, thanks, and take care, people. I'll talk to you, Leona. Bye-bye.
I'm looking forward to listening to your show.
Me too. Take
okay.
care.
Thank you so much, hon. So again, audience, we're going to be, we're not going to have this for an hour and a half, but we are just trying to get it out there that we need to start becoming united as a people and as a country. We need to start becoming united, and we need to start working on these. And it takes numbers, and it doesn't take a lot of effort to make a phone call every day or a few phone calls every day in emails or letter writing to your legislative members, to the media. We need to hit the media because they are going around the issues in America. They're going to all these different countries and getting all this information that we don't need to hear about, because all it does is stress out the citizens of the United States. When they go to Ukraine and they talk about Ukraine and Russia and all these other countries, Iran, Iraq, and, you know, in Israel and all these, we need to address the issues in our own country. And until we can come together united, making these phone calls, writing these letters, emailing, especially the media. And we've been posting the addresses and the emails and the contact information all over social media. So all you need to do is go join some of these groups or just go on Facebook and look up all these addresses that you're seeing all over the place and start calling the media, major media outlets, CNN News, MSNBC, Fox if you have to. You know, a lot of somebody said, why Fox? Because Fox is a media. You know, we need to start contacting all of these radio shows, all of these newspapers, all of these news on TV. We need to contact the governors in every state, because the governors in every state are the ones that make decisions as to whether somebody stays incarcerated or not. And Dorothy, you're back on, so I'm going to let you speak on whatever issues you had in mind.
Okay, I want everyone to listen hard to Leona and I about the mass incarceration, life without parole, life sentences, mental illness. My son was on a little bit and mentioned about mental illness, and he wants to go further with talking how the system is not allowing the proper people to go in to take care of these mental situations. He goes into the SHU and everything and talks to the guys when they have a problem and sits there and listens. He doesn't talk. He listens to what they have to say. And this is what they have to do, is you have to be a good listener and don't talk, because they have so much on their mind that it's rattling in their brain that they need to get it out. We need the right professional psychiatrists, right nurses, the right doctors to go into the prison system and work with everyone we need. And we have to bring that forward in June and talk all legislation, talk to the governors, talk to the radio stations, and everything else. We will share a little blog that you can copy and go by when you do make these calls. But go to the Dollar Tree, get a little notebook, and put down, even if you share 5 phone calls a day, to the radio stations, the legislation people, and also the governors. That will help us to bring out the voice that they don't have inside. Let's all work together and not separate. Bring changes to the DOC. They are corrupt in so many ways, and it's not brought out. They wash it under the table, under the doormat. And I also believe in anger management for the correctional officers to go through along with the drug testing, just like the ones incarcerated that are getting visits. They have to go through the drug test. So should the correctional officers. And they're just as guilty for bringing it in. Cell phones and everything. As I said, this is Dorothy Jean D'Agostino. Thank you for listening. Please be on board in June. We need you very badly. Let's bring this on the train of change. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And I hope everyone's listening. You know, no one can say that it doesn't work. No one can say it doesn't work unless they themselves are not joining forces to make these calls, write these emails and letters. If you're doing it, it's going to be successful because it will be done in unity and it will be done in mass mailing, letter writing, and emailing and calls. So if this isn't successful, it's not because of the system. It's because of those who do not participate. I would suggest the first week of June that everyone focus on the media first, the large outlets, and CNN and MSNBC and PBS and all of these local and national media outlets. The first week, if they make all those calls, and I will say we need to focus on defunding, because right now that's what's going to hit the pockets of these corrupt facilities, the Department of Corrections, the politicians that are out there that are doing nothing, the governors, whatever it might be. This is where they need to be exposed, because if they're not exposed, if they're not defunded, then this will continue to go on. But if they're defunded, until and unless they can be more transparent in the interaction between them and the incarcerated individuals, if they can be more transparent about the rehabilitative programs, educational programs, work programs, whatever the case may be, I say it should be mandated for every incarcerated individual to take educational courses. That way, no prisoner is going to be denied, which happens a lot of times in the prisons. Prisoners are targeted. They're not allowed or they're not provided educational programs. And when they do go up, if they get a chance to go up for parole, they have nothing to show for it. This is the mentality of the Department of Corrections around the country. This is how they treat the prisoners. And the media will report that these people do nothing while incarcerated because they're taking the word of one side, and that is the overseers. The media needs to be bombarded, and they need to be told that they need to go into the prisons and get the full story before they report one-sided stories. That's why we have mass incarceration in the United States. That's why every country that we speak with that sees what's going on in our penal system, and they do. The media hits all over the world now. So whatever goes on CNN News or MSNBC, people from other countries are seeing it as well as we are. They're seeing that this is a farce. The DOC around the country is a farce. And the media is a farce because they will go to their countries when they can't even report their own two-sided stories in the United States of America. So I actually hope that everyone listening will join us in the month of June and start making these calls. Again, I will be interviewing a former 27-year warden from Amsterdam who was in the United States prisons and continues to work with the advocates in the Texas prisons and the Texas state, who is going to be talking a lot about the injustices. So join us on May 24th at 12 o'clock Eastern Time. And we will also have on with him Mariam Jacobs from the Netherlands, who will be talking about the comparison between the prisons in the United States and also in the Netherlands, as she has been talking about. These are people who have been advocating for the incarcerated United States incarcerated individuals, men and women. When we have people in the United States who are so busy judging our prisoners, stereotyping, that they don't take the time out to help, as other countries are doing with the United States incarcerated population. We have a real problem in this country. We have a real problem. And I'm hoping that everybody listening to these shows will try to gain some wisdom and understanding, will try to be neutral and not judgmental. Try to be neutral with both sides. We know there's a lot of victims out in the world today, especially in this country. There's a lot of victims whom I sympathize with, but I still remain neutral because I know there's two sides to every story. And I know, as Dorothy's son Shane was saying, and Donna Wynette and others, we have an epidemic in this country of mental illnesses and addictions. And until these people start going into programs, into facilities, long-term treatment facilities, this is going to continue. We're hearing about mass shootings every single day now, mainly in Texas. But we're hearing about it every day. And right here in Massachusetts, just 1 or 2 days ago, the police killed an individual because he wouldn't take his hands out of his pocket. They received a call. The man was drunk, and he was being a nuisance. So the police went out, and when they went out there, he was coming out. They told him to take his hands out of his pockets, and he wouldn't. We have people in this country that we're hearing about all the time, driving in somebody's driveway by accident and being killed, going to the wrong house to get their little brother to be killed, a drunken man to be killed because he wouldn't take his hands out of his pocket. What are we waiting for? What are we actually waiting for in this country? Are we waiting for this country to become the downfall? And now we have, Russia was on the news last night. He said the U.S., this country, has caused a real war. Because right now we're on the verge of a third world war. We're on the verge of a complete disaster in this world. So we better start in the United States coming together and trying to fix some of this, whatever we can, before that time comes. And Dorothy, if you have anything to say, please say it, because we're going to be closing in about another 5 or 10 minutes. And I'd like to have you say these words.
I want to thank everybody for listening to us. I will give my name and also my email and my telephone number. It's DJEAN Angel, ANGEL 04 at yahoo.com. My telephone number is 215-858-0095. I am here to listen. I'm here to help. And please get on our train in June to the dollar store. Pick up a little book. They're only a dollar. And write each day for the month of June the phone calls you're going to make. And be persistent. Get them to answer the phone and not be placed on hold and a hang-up. Be persistent. This is what we need. We are their voice. They don't have one. Let us show the ones inside they're not alone. Thank you.
Thank you. And also, again, the Ignite Justice with Emily Shelton is going to be having a National Day of Activism on July 22nd. And that is going to be outside activism will include mass mailing the governors, legislative offices with accounts of torture cases. They're going to be having the rallies and more. The issues will be addressing high rates of suicide and deaths, and we have a high rate of suicide in the United States, especially in the prisons. Denied educational, religious, and vocational access. Weeks without any chance to leave their cells. Limited or no food at all. The cell floor is wet with human waste and urine from flooding. Cell fires. Lack of access to outside recreation. Inadequate medical care. These are some of the issues that this group is going to be addressing on a national level. And I'm asking everyone to please join them as well, because we will be joining them as well. We will see some positive changes if we all come together for the month of June and for the few days that they will be having this rally or writing letters or emailing or phone calls in July. So let's come together. Let's try to make a big difference in this country. Let's try to make June of this year a year to remember positively, not negatively. So I want to thank everyone for listening in and those that came on. Dorothy, thank you as always. And we are going to be closing again. Next, the 17th of May, will be Donna Wynette. Families, Friends, and Individuals for the Mentally Ill will be on. She's bringing on quite a few guests. So if you get a chance to listen in or call in on Wednesday, the 20th, and it's going to be at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. She will be on Wednesday. Next Tuesday, we will be back on again, Dorothy and I, and anyone else that wants to come on to talk about, again, contributing to the June event and making phone calls, writing letters, and emailing. I hope everyone will listen. I hope everyone will join in. If we want to see anything positive happen in this country, this is our opportunity. So we are now going to sign off, and I want to thank you, Dorothy, for coming on. An audience for listening, and we are going to sign out for now. Thank you all so much.
Angels be with everyone.
Amen.